Have you ever had a vision you just had to fulfill? Well, that's exactly what happened with Dr. Joanne Cornwell. That vision was Sister Locks. Following her vision led to the creation of a natural hair management system that thousands of women could wear with pride and dignity. Join us as we take you to some familiar places and those that might surprise you. The Sister Locks podcast is where the story of your journey is told. Sponsored in part by Niche Agency. Afrocentric branding at yourniche.com.
Hello, everyone. This is Cassandra Lawson, and I'm your co-host for the Sister Locks podcast. Thank you for joining us today.
Yay.
I am here with my beautiful co-host, Dr. Joanne Cornwell, the creator of Sister Locks.
Hello, everybody.
You know, the hair bandit herself.
Look out. I'll lock your hair.
You know, to me, that's a sign of I know a trainee is going to make it when they're locking anything that's moved. You know,
dogs,
they're locking eyebrows.
Dogs.
Exactly. Anything that they can find, they're locking it. That's a sign of someone who's going to be successful in our business. And it's funny that that we led with that because that's today's topic, you know, successful sister lock consultant. Mm-hmm. And I know that is a topic that is close to your heart.
Very close to my heart. You know, I could have just, back in the day, I could have just developed Sister Locks in a way that we just throw some tools in a box with some instructions and, you know, that was it. Get paid and don't go through this. But that wasn't going to transform our minds and our culture. So it's been very important to me from the very beginning that the people that we train have a commitment. And I'm telling you, the guest that we're going to welcome today is one of those people, Kathy Thomas. She is... I just cannot say enough about her ethics and just the things that her clients have to say about her. So that you'll see what I mean when we bring our guest in.
Yeah, Kathy is amazing. I don't want to go too much into her now, but she's a very special person to me. Today, we're going to be exploring the whole idea of a successful sister lock consultant. And so we're going to look at this in several different ways. Right, Dr. C?
Yes, there's not just one formula. I mean, there's the what things look like from the client's perspective.
Okay.
And then from the perspective of the consultant themselves, what does it take for that person to feel like they're a success? Of course, financial success.
Mm-hmm.
And then, you know, cultural responsibility. Why are they out there doing what they're doing? And what is it doing for us as a group?
Yeah, I think that's a very good way to break it down. So if we start off looking at from the client's perspective, what is going to make them the most happiest?
Well, you know, clients are wonderful and kind of puzzling beings. Because you don't know what you're getting, which is one reason why we really strongly stress a consultation. Sometimes clients are just interested in getting the best price deal that they can get. Sometimes they're insecure and they need a hand-holding, and that's the most important thing for them. Sometimes it's, you know, maybe they already know what they want, and they're just using somebody, they're just needing to find somebody whose skill set is in line with the type of look they want to get.
Mm-hmm.
So from the client's perspective, you have to discover who you're dealing with. You have to learn who this person is. And we strongly recommend that consultants do this before they put hundreds of locks in somebody's hair or do somebody's hair and have them, you know, have a breakdown and a crying fit afterward. And, you know, all of these things can happen if you don't take the precautions. So from the client's perspective, that's something that there's a discovery process, and that's why you should never deal with a consultant who does not do a consultation, does not do a thorough consultation. Sometimes clients will protest. They think they know what they want, but clients don't know what clients don't know. And so it may not be obvious to them the reasons why a consultation is going to be necessary and going to help ensure that they get the best job possible, but the consultant themselves, they know better. They're taught better. And so it's the consultation that's going to reveal what that client perspective is. And then the consultant can determine if they can meet that or not.
Yeah, I think that's very true. Sticking to the basic steps of Sister Locks will definitely help in success. So now we're going to go to the consultant's point of view. Can consultants actually choose their ideal clients?
You know, people would think not. People think that clients choose consultants. I mean, if I were a client, I would certainly interview consultants and try to get referrals. If I'm going to spend however many hundreds of dollars I'm going to spend, you know, I'm going to try to spend it wisely. But the fact is that, yes, consultants can choose their clients. Everybody is not your client. All money is not good money. That's almost like a mantra within Sister Luck. So when we have our classes and we talk about this particular topic, we stress, again, the consultation, because that's another thing that the consultation accomplishes. It helps reveal to the consultant who they're dealing with and what they want. And if they're likely to be somebody who's going to maintain the Sister Locks at a level that's required. And it's possible for a consultant to say, you know, sweetheart, I think that you have some really, you know, compelling goals in mind, but this is not the way that I can approach Sister Locks with you. I'm committed to offer Sister Locks in this way, A, B, C, and it doesn't look like this is what you want. So I'm going to just hold off and maybe not take you on as a client right now. That's an absolute acceptable outcome for a consultation. And unless you do a consultation, you're not going to know whether or not there is that compatibility and whether or not you're going to be able to deliver Sister Lock services. There's nothing worse than doing the best job that you possibly can do and then 3 weeks later seeing your client again and everything is undone. You know, everything is slipped out. You know, the client is mad.
Yes.
You know? And so from the consultant's perspective, you really want to understand what the strategies are that you're taught in the 4-day training class and work from the very beginning, really out the gate. You're just a brand new trainee. From the very beginning, putting those into practice and seeing in what ways they can help you choose the best clients to develop a clientele that enhances your life and doesn't make you crazy. There's one more thing I want to say, because often consultants inherit clients or get, I call them OPCs,
yeah, other people's clients.
A challenge as well, because you don't know what these people have been through. Sometimes they're just crying or spitting mad or confused about what the real deal is. And so even when somebody already has Sister Locks or tells you they have Sister Locks over the phone, you never want to just say, oh, yes, I'll do your retightening, come in at 3 o'clock. You want to make sure that the same approach, that is doing some kind of a consultation where you can assess what's going on, that way you can let that client know if, not when, but if you can take them on as a client, and if so, under what conditions. For example, just to give you one example, that person who calls you and says, you know, I've had Sister Locks for 5 years, I need a retightening, I'm in town for 3 days, can you retighten my hair, right? That person may not have Sister Locks at all. You might look at that parting grid and go, what is going on here? Mm-hmm. Or the locks may be really lumpy, or there may be things embedded in the locks, or that person may be extremely tenderheaded, or there are a million things that can go wrong. So the consultation and the procedure and the kind of screening your clients is something that consultants want to do no matter who they're dealing with.
Yeah, I agree with everything you said. And, you know, just the art of being able to say no. Mm-hmm. All clients are not your clients, and it's not a bad thing. It could be personality. It could be distance. Mm-hmm. In Southern California, I have people coming, you know, north of L.A. driving 3 to 4 hours to come and see me. Mm-hmm. And so sometimes, you know, they need to find someone else so that they can, you know, be happy with the distance. So with that, a general rule for me is that when I look at my books and I look at who's coming in for the day, I like to have a smile on my face when I think of my clients. You're entering a relationship with them. You see them for years. You see them, you know, before weddings and births and, you know, all the lives. And, you know, I have younger clients who are going to dances and parties and things like that. So you want to be able to go through these life experiences with your clients that you enjoy.
Yes.
You know, if you dread, if you have someone on your books and you see their name and you know, and you're cringing, or, you know, you want to close your windows, pretend like you're not home, that might be a sign.
You are so right about that. I mean, if you choose your clients carefully, and if the client chooses the consultant mm-hmm. carefully, then it's just an amazing relationship. It
yes.
really is. And, you know, but if you're careless about it or way too impatient, then it can be a headache for everybody involved.
Yeah. And, you know, and so another thing that I know we all agree about that, you know, the majority of the people who take the Sterlox 4-day training and become a Sterlox practitioner wants to be able to earn a living or make some money, right?
Get paid. And there's nothing wrong with that. I mean, so many people have been able to quit their day jobs or enhance their, you know, financial profile, or, you know, maybe their partners can take off and go back to school because they can hold up the family, you mm-hmm. know, or just kind of take over the hair care of their daughters and other people in their families, you know, who maybe couldn't afford natural hair care otherwise. But yeah, that, you know, everybody needs to get paid. Mm-hmm. And we don't shy away from that. Sterlox has a really great potential for providing that financial stability that so many of us are looking for. I kind of chuckle because there was one point where everybody was making money at Sterlox but me. I go, you know, to some city or something, they'd invite me, and these sisters are driving these Beamers and all this kind of stuff. And I'm laughing because, you know, running the Sterlox company is one thing, and developing a Sterlox practice is another. But I always, really, joking aside, I always saluted these women, mostly our women, who are just out there making it work.
Mm-hmm.
They are being efficient. They're creating a setting where people are comfortable and want to come back to. You know, they're not forgetting the philosophy, which has to do with really a kind of communities of primarily women who are about uplift and mm-hmm. feeling good and mutual support. And so it's not just about making money. I very rarely run into anybody who is just in this for the money. It does happen, but it's very rare. So it's almost like the best way you can make a living.
Mm-hmm.
You can make good money, and you can contribute in so many ways to the quality of life, not only your own, but those people that you service.
Yeah, I definitely think that that is true. Now, Doc, in the past, I've heard you talk about something called cultural responsibility. That sounds really serious. What exactly do you mean by that?
I know. It sounds serious. I think it's the professor in me coming out. It doesn't have to be called that. Let's call it acknowledging where you come from.
Okay.
Because that is really what it feels like to me. It's not so much a responsibility as an acknowledgement that, you know, I'm here because my parents worked really hard to feed all of us, to give us good values, you know, to help us not forget where we come from, and to instill the values of giving back mm-hmm. to us. And I hear this so much among the people who are trained, our trainees. They're in those classes partly because, you know, they want to get their house note paid or their mm-hmm. car note paid, definitely. You know, partly because they have this goal of getting into natural hair care on a level that makes sense to them, but also because they realize that Sterlox is not just about a hairdo.
Mm-hmm.
It's such a cliche by now. People have said this a million times, but there's nothing truer. This is not about a hairdo. This touches really, really deep with people. And you have to respect that, and you have to honor that when you're doing somebody's hair.
Mm-hmm.
Because they're vulnerable when they come to you. They're not just, you know, putting down money for a hairstyle. You know, they're letting you in on their past, on their anxieties. You know, they're really kind of trusting you with doing what you say you're going to do.
Mm-hmm.
And so it really does end up, if we can take the, you know, kind of stiffness out of the word responsibility, because I feel really responsible in terms of how I, you know, kind of guide the Sterlox business through its growth. I wouldn't dare do certain things, not because businesses don't do them, but because I'm too responsible to do that. Mm-hmm. I owe too much to my people, to my, you know, mom, you know, to my sisters, and to the women that have come so freely, you know, through the doors and left, you know, feeling maybe a little brighter or a little bit more knowledgeable. So to me, you know, just kind of acknowledging where you come from, that will keep you on the right path. At least it has for me. And I want to always see that as part of the Sister Locks culture and the Sister Locks philosophy. Let's not forget, you know, we are not here where we are because of ourselves alone. Mm-hmm. There are all kinds of forces and powers, spiritual and human and otherwise, and we need to acknowledge that daily and have that translate into our business practices.
Wow, that's really beautiful. And just to add to that, when you say, you know, certain things you don't want to do, when I think about the legacy of Sister Locks, I personally feel like, you know, I am the legacy of Sister Locks, just meaning when people come to me, I am the face of Sister Locks to them.
Right.
And it's so important that I leave a good taste in their mouth, per se. You know,
yeah.
I want people to have beautiful Sister Locks journeys. And I notice that sometimes when something happens, where something goes wrong, whether it's on the consultant side or the client side, something was missing, you know. And if we stick to, you know, taking cultural responsibility, you know, really thinking about where we come from and holding up that standard, mm-hmm. there'll be less of that, you know, rather than taking shortcuts and things like that, not being afraid to say no. So I'm really glad that we included that into this conversation, because it's so important to be successful to consider those things, you
yes,
know. We
yes.
can't have a breakdown in our ethics. And that's why our next guest is so amazing for this particular topic, not just because she's a successful consultant. I don't know if I said that properly. A successful consultant. She also has amazing ethics and takes that cultural responsibility close to the heart. Now, Doc, you've known Kathy for a long time, right?
Yes, I have. We haven't had daily contact, but I remember I'm wondering if it wasn't somewhere around 2007 or maybe even earlier, when Kathy got her Sister Locks, and then she participated in a styling event where she was the model. Kathy, do you remember that?
I do. I certainly remember that. Yes. So we actually go back a lot farther than that. I would say almost 20 years ago.
Remind me.
Right. When I first noticed Sister Locks, it was in a community newsletter. I believe it was the Monitor. It was a community newspaper. And I made an appointment with you, came in for a consultation, had test locks put in, and then went home and observed them, and then I got cold feet. And because you warned me, you were very open, and you know after I asked you a couple of questions, you basically said, well, maybe it's just not the time for you to move forward with this.
Mm.
And I really appreciated that, because I needed that time to really get my head together regarding Sister Locks. And then after that, you had a book signing where you had that hair thing.
Okay.
And I went to that, and it was all over. I was in your chair within 60 days after the book signing.
Oh, that's really beautiful. Well, I have to ask you, because want to talk about being a successful Sister Locks consultant. Do you consider yourself a successful consultant?
Well, my clients tell me this all the time.
See, we're asking you this because we know how humble you are, so we're
yes.
putting you on the spot.
Yes, and I'm always striving to do better. I try and treat each client as if they're Oprah Winfrey. When I put them in my chair, I don't want to give them any less service than I would give her if she walked through my doors. And so I always have that in the back of my mind. And I really like to give them more value than what they're paying for. And that goes, you know, as far as helping them. As you said, many come and I'm their therapist. I sit and I listen.
Yeah.
Sometimes there's no conversation. Other times there's nonstop conversation. I remember my husband said once, he says, you should charge extra just for listening. but it's what we do as consultants. You know, we're here for the client. When they come through the door, we give them our undivided attention. Mm-hmm. We don't dump on them. It's their time.
It's their time. So. Mm-hmm. Absolutely. So let's back up a little bit. Can you talk to us a little bit about what your journey was from the time you got your own Sister Locks to the time you got trained, and then where you are today with your own salon?
Absolutely. I received my training back in November of 2001.
Okay.
And I became certified in December of 2002.
Did you know right away that you wanted to learn Sister Locks, or did that take a while to set in?
Believe it or not, I did not know right away that I wanted to learn Sister Locks. After getting my Sister Locks, I got so many compliments on my hair. Mm-hmm. And a girlfriend and I had actually gotten our hair done around the same time, and she decided she wanted to be a consultant. Mm-hmm. And I was referring everybody to her. And I thought to myself, wait a minute, is this something that I could possibly do? At that time, I was a business owner. I had my own family child care. Mm. And I would work with kids from 6 a.m. to 6 p.m. And I thought it would be nice to have some adult conversation at the end of the day. And I decided that I would take a shot at it. I would give it a shot. And I did. And so thankful that I did.
Yeah, we're thankful too. So you took the class in 2001.
Yeah.
And did you immediately start getting loads of clients, or did that take you a little while?
It took a little while. I received referrals from my friend, and it was a little slow in the beginning, but I didn't let that deter me. I continued to work after hours. I would work from 6 to 6, and my first client would come in at about 7. Mm-hmm. And in the beginning, it's a very slow process, so we would spend at least 3 to 4 hours together. And eventually, things started to happen. Once I completed the 3 heads, then more and more referrals started to come. And I still kept it on a part-time basis and did that for many years, mm-hmm. for I would say close to 10 years. I did it part-time in my home,
okay.
and decided that would work for me until I later on decided to go full-time.
So what did the 4-day class, how well did that prepare you for starting your own business? You say you started a home-based business.
Yes.
How ready did you feel after just taking 4 days of training?
After taking the 4 days of training, I felt initially, wow, this is a big undertaking. This is a big, huge undertaking. And the class equipped me very well. I mean, the booklet that you provided, as long as I used that book, as long as I referred to that book when it came to the consultation, the establishment of the lock, the follow-up,
mm-hmm.
everything went smoothly, because you've given us such a path to run on with this consult, with the book. And I mean, I still refer back to the book today, where it shows the grid, you know, mm-hmm. and it shows the parts, the line, all of that was very helpful. And then the mind your own business portion that was taught in the training as well helped.
Okay.
You know, the importance of, you know, having your bank account and
right.
keeping your bank account separate, your personal separate from your business, and making sure that you're above board, you have things taken care of.
Mm-hmm.
So all of that was really helpful.
So you were the same type of business person when you were doing a home-based business as you are now that you have a retail salon. Is that accurate?
Yes.
Okay, so a client shouldn't judge a Sister Locks consultant based on that, because you have the same guidelines pretty much.
Absolutely. Absolutely. I had a section in my home set aside. My clients would come in. In fact, my clients love my home mm-hmm. so much that when I decided to come into a salon, I had attitude. They really didn't want to leave my home. And if you come to my salon today, you'll see what I actually did was I brought my furniture from the living room in which I work, and I placed it in my salon.
Yeah.
I had this area rug of carpet that matched my carpet in my living room. I made them a nice carpet, you know, that I just did everything I could replicate what was at home. Because they really enjoyed coming into my home. They enjoyed seeing my family. They enjoyed just being there.
Well, you know, it's kind of part of our culture, isn't it? I mean, our hair care traditions emerged out of our home setting. I even think that, you know, we shouldn't perhaps call our Sister Locks locations salons because that has a whole baggage with it. They're more like studios or galleries or, you know, there are other terms that we can use for those because, you know, when you're spending from 10 to 20 hours typically on somebody's hair, it's not like you just need to be sitting in a row like mm-hmm. in a typical beauty salon. Mm-hmm. You know, you want to create a setting, as you've done, Kathy, that really does make the person feel at home. And so what kinds of things do they do when they're at your location while they're getting their hair done? Do you have things for them to read or watch? Or
absolutely. We have coffee here available for them. Snacks. I usually bring in snacks for them, for those that like snacks. Also, material to read. We have Sister Locks manuals here. We have the little booklets we have around available. Magazines reflecting African American culture.
Mm.
And I don't have a TV. I've never had a TV, even in my home. For some reason, the TV just never, in my home, I did have a TV, but it never, I never played the TV for some reason. We never turned the TV on.
So when they're there with you, they're there with you.
They're here with me.
Yeah.
And we have continued that for the past 18 years. We've just never locked it. We've just never had a TV. It's always been light music, sometimes no music. It just depends on mm-hmm. the mood. And I can tell when they walk in the door what they need. And so I don't press conversation. It's very light in the beginning. Mm-hmm. And if they want to chat a little more, we can do that. But if they want complete silence, we can have that as well.
Wow. Makes me want to come to your spot and get my hair retightened. I wanted to ask you because, you know, you sound like such a kind person, you know, kind of astute in terms of what you see in people. This is kind of a trick question. People in our culture tend to think that the customer is always right. Would you say that that philosophy or that approach applies when you're taking on new Sister Locks customers? Is the customer always right?
The customer always right. They have the right to feel that they're always right.
Okay.
But as we converse and as they share with me what's on their mind and I share with them what Sister Locks is about and our philosophy, it's amazing how they come around.
Yeah.
And they may come in feeling like, this is what I want, this is what I saw, da-da-da-da. But when you take time out to explain to them what Sister Locks is, the approach that it's a lifestyle, not a hairstyle, it's amazing how they warm up and they change their entire view.
Hmm. Okay, well, I don't doubt that you're really effective at that.
Yeah, well, you know, I just want to add a little bit to the conversation. Miss Kathy and I, we actually go way back.
All right.
When I was a baby Sister Locks consultant, Kathy was the first consultant to call me and refer clients to me.
Oh.
And she was so sweet, and she called me and she grilled me, you know. She wanted to know all about me, and she was, going on a mission trip with her husband to Africa. Am I correct, Kathy?
Yes.
Okay.
Zimbabwe.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. And she sent me several clients at the time, not too many because I couldn't handle everything. And that was such a blessing. And that really started a friendship with us. Wonderful. And so another sign of successful Sterlock Consulting, I think it's the mentorship and it's the friendship. Mm-hmm. And Kathy does that, so well, to the point to where when I left for Japan, I was able to send her all of my clients because of the relationship.
Absolutely.
That we built. And it's so interesting how things work in our universe. Because I referred her my clients when I left the country, she was able to start Locks of Love. And the name of Locks of Love Studio, it fits so much. It's that homey feeling. Mm-hmm. And when I came back from Japan, I was able to work at Locks of Love, and see a lot of the familiar faces. And she's mentored lots of, lots of consultants, over the years and helped them be successful.
So you're actually mutually supporting your business growth.
Exactly.
Not just the two of you, but you almost like have a network of support. That's fabulous.
Yeah. And I think it's really good because, there's so many clients out there. There's way more clients than there are consultants. And I feel like when we mentor, you just get that excitement.
Mm-hmm.
And I think one of the benefits of having a place like Lots of Love is that when I work from home, I've never worked with anyone else before. Kathy is the first consultant I've ever worked with. How do you feel about working with others now, Kathy, at your studio?
I love it. I absolutely love it. It brings new life in when we're together. And don't get us in here on a Saturday or a weekend when the chairs are full. It reminds me of years gone by at the beauty salon when we would all be together and just chatting and encouraging one another. Mm-hmm. I really do appreciate having someone come in and watching the clientele flow in and out throughout the door. And it's just such a wonderful feeling, such a sense of community. Everyone comes in. This past weekend, your client came in with the newborn baby and her mm-hmm. husband and her two children. And it was just like a family gathering. We were so happy to see the baby that we'd waited for.
Mm-hmm.
And so having someone in the salon, it's a good thing.
Cool.
We have, quite a few people who, are interested in taking the Sterlock class or they have taken the Sterlock class. And some of the questions that come up, nowadays there's so much information about Sterlocks, online through social media. How do you recommend someone should go about finding a consultant?
I recommend that they go to the Sterlocks website and check out the registry that's there and stay within that framework.
How long did it take you to get enough clients to support yourself, Kathy?
It took approximately, I would say, about 10 years.
Mm-hmm.
And as you said, when you and your husband went on your tour to Japan, that was just the push that I needed to get me to where I am now. And I was toying around with the idea of going full time, and things just fell in place when you decided you were going on tour. And so that took probably, like I said, about 10 years.
How many clients do you have now, Kathy?
About 70 plus.
Yeah. We find that once somebody gets to around 50 clients, that's the tipping point for them being able to do anything else besides Sterlocks. And so often,
exactly.
Sterlocks, they'll start part-time without the intention of becoming full-time, but things will just mm-hmm. grow and grow and grow.
Now,
exactly.
When you first started, did you charge a full price right from the beginning?
No, I had a reduced rate when I started out. Those first three heads, I couldn't expect them to pay what other consultants were getting that were certified. So I started out at a reduced rate with my first three heads. And then I didn't even raise it significantly once I became certified. And the reason being is that I just didn't have the speed or the time in to feel justified in taking it up to where someone that had been doing it for years was charging.
How long did it take you to do, let's say, your first client?
Oh, boy. It was a long time, and I remember it to this day. It took me close to 30 hours.
Okay.
She had mega dense hair. She had hair. Oh, boy. And then she just had everything that a certified consultant would love. Lots of thick hair.
Mm-hmm. But for
tight,
you, I know it was a challenge.
Pattern. It was such a challenge. And as a new consultant, we have a tendency to overcompensate. We want everything to be so perfect. We're looking at the book. We're looking at the grid. We're measuring. We're doing all these things to try to get it so perfect. I tell you, but it took quite a while with that first client.
And what about now? What's the average? Let's say an average size head, average length hair, 4 to 5 inches. What's your average time now?
Believe it or not, it's about 20 hours. I spread it out, first of all, because I am full-time. I can do that.
Mm-hmm.
And so instead of trying to get something done, you know, in an entire day, I'll let the client know, okay, we're going to take at least 2 days to work on your hair. And then if you have a third day, we'll take that as well. I try to work at least 8 hours. Try not to push it too far past that per day on a establishment of locks because it's really hard on my body, and I just try to pace myself so that I'm not overworking myself and overworking the client as well.
Yeah, so you're really tailoring all of that around the comfort level of the client, really.
Absolutely.
Mm-hmm.
Now, what is the best thing about being a sister lock consultant?
Being able to set my own hours and to just having that flexibility to work at a pace that's comfortable for me.
It's plain and simple.
That is. Now, and also, what is the worst thing?
Well, you know what? I'd like to also add something else to one of the as far as the one of the highlights of being a sister lock consultant is when I see my clients, when they come in and they spend time with me, and when they leave, they're just so excited about the time that we've had together. They look forward to it. When they leave, I at least have at least 2 appointments on the books for them, and they're just so pleased. So I get a lot out of satisfying my clients as well. And just seeing the joy that I bring them.
Mm-hmm.
And that's what Sister Locks does for them, because it's not so much what I'm doing for them. It's the lifestyle that they've embraced, and they're so excited about this lifestyle. I've got clients that go way back, 10 years back, and they're just as excited about their hair as they were when they first started.
That's really cool.
Yeah, that's amazing. So, what's the worst thing about being a consultant? One of your pet peeves.
One of my pet peeves is me. I'm always working on me because I just have to fess up. I'm not the timeliest person in the world. And so that would be it in a nutshell. It's just me and my being timely. I'll tell you one thing. When I worked from home, I was always on time. All I had to do was, you know, roll out of bed, get ready, and my home was open to them. My first client in the morning, our dialogue goes like this. Text, OTW, and they text that. Sounds good to me. After that, it's gravy, because I'm here.
So the moral of the story is don't sign up for that first appointment with you, right?
Amen.
Well, Kathy, you know, thank you so much for being a part of our program. I mean, your clients are so lucky to have you. I feel so blessed to be able to, you know, work with you. A couple times out of the month, I go to Locks of Love, and I work there because I have clients who are a little bit closer. But also, I just like the connection with Kathy. We have so much, you know, so much fun. She's so gracious to my clients. She offers them snacks. She offers, it's so funny, I joke sometimes because I'll bring in like a little snack just for us, and Kathy will offer it to the whole salon. You know, but I don't take that personal because that's just her spirit. That's the way that she is.
I think we need to clone you, Kathy.
Yeah, you know, she just has that loving spirit. So we want to thank you for sharing with us. It's really amazing. And you have a great day, Kathy.
Thank you so much for having me.
Thanks for being on.
Dr. Cornwell, for developing this. It's truly the best hair decision and business decision I've ever made.
Oh, that's great. Thank you so much, Kathy.
Mm-hmm. Bye, Kathy. I'll see you soon.
Bye-bye.
Bye-bye.
Alrighty. Bye-bye.
I would like to thank so much my co-host, Dr. C, and our guests, Kathy Thomas from Escondido Locks of Love, for joining us today. I mean, just talking about the successful consultant, and I must say, Kathy is the whole package.
Yeah.
She has a Facebook page, Locks of Love. She always posts pictures of her clients, featuring her clients and things like that. So definitely, I would say, check her out.
Absolutely. And anyone else who just loves their consultant, we'd like to hear about that.
Oh, yes. Yes. So come to Sister Locks Facebook page and post who's your consultant, why you love them, you know, and give us some information about your Sister Lock journey, and that would be amazing. You can also find us at Facebook, and I already said that, Facebook, Instagram, and sisterlocks.com. We have all the information about our training classes and upcoming events. There's information about how to find a Sister Lock consultant, all things Sister Locks, found on sisterlocks.com. And I think the tab what is the name of the tab?
Training and classes.
Training and classes. I'm sorry, I'm making it complicated. Everyone, have a great day, and we'll see you next time. Thank you.
Bye-bye.
Bye.